When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi guys, welcome back to Working Title. I'm your host, Margot. This week, we're just going to be doing a bit of a recap. I'm honestly feeling a little bit nervous right now because I usually go into the recordings with a bit of a game plan and structure of how I want to kind of flow through the episode, and I'm going in pretty blind right now. I went into my camera roll and wrote down just kind of like the highlights of the past week. Just bear with me. This is a journey we're going on together, and I'm not sure exactly where it's going to take us, but I'm excited. As always, I'm going to set the scene for you guys. I'm in my apartment. Zantori is visiting. It's so comforting having his suitcase here. He has like a corner of my apartment. Thank God this man is so clean and organized, because if it were any other way, I think we would lose our minds living in a studio apartment together. But it's so nice having his stuff here. Today, right now, he's grabbing coffee with an old friend. And then tonight, we are going to a Rangers game, which I'm so excited about. The Rangers hosted us a couple years ago, and literally every single time that Zan and I see each other, he brings it up and how much fun he had. So I reached out to them before Zantori got here this year. That will be a really fun night tonight. But I'm just chilling in my apartment right now. I'll probably go to my co-working space afterwards to edit. And yeah, I'm nice and cozy. I have been living in gray cashmere sweaters this winter, which sounds very bougie, but all of them were either like secondhand. One of my favorite ones was my aunt's, and she gave it to me. It's a gray turtleneck. And then the one that I'm wearing right now is from J. Crew. And I'm loving J. Crew. Like, I want to work with them so badly. They do very, very, very kindly send me items to wear. And I swear, out of any brand that I've ever worked with, I get the most use out of the pieces that they send me. So I'm just wearing one of their like cashmere classic fits. And for the quality and the material, they're pretty affordable. I believe they're around $150, but they have sales all the time. I have my beverages next to me. I have a coffee. I've actually really been on a matcha kick recently. I've been loving Chacha Matcha, which is such a treat. It literally comes out to like minimum $8 every time I go. I don't know how, but I have my coffee next to me. And then I also just made some more cold brew. I did cappuccino this morning and just made, not a cold brew, a drip coffee with my Chemex in a cute little mug that Lolita sent me. So the vibes are good. In case you missed the memo, Mr. Puxatani Phil did not see his shadow. So it means it's going to be spring soon. I am feeling good about this prediction because the sun is shining. It's the first time I feel like I've seen the sun in years. If you live in New York or the East Coast, you know. It has been a tough past couple of weeks, but Phil said spring is coming soon. So that is good news, because I'm pretty sure last year he said it was going to be a long winter. So thank goodness for Phil. Also, last thing, by the time you're listening to this, the Valentine's Day gift guide will be up and running. All of the links are updated and it's really good. So go check that out if you want to get a gift for your sweetie or for yourself or for girlfriends. I know there's a lot of like Galentine's Day parties coming up and leap year parties. So if you feel like you want a good lovey-dovey hostess gift for that, check that out. That is on margolee.com. How is everyone doing? I feel like January was a really weird month. We are so attuned to ourselves in January because at the top of the year, we take a lot of time to reflect and to set goals for the new year. And I think because of that, we're just so hyper vigilant of what we're doing, how we're spending our time, what we're consuming, how we're moving. Like, it's too much, I think. I think February might get a little bit lighter and nicer with that because I feel like everyone was just like so kind of hard on themselves this past month. I had a really interesting reflection on the month with my cousin Sarah. We were talking about a newsletter that she was writing that was kind of musing on this past month. We had this moment of realization as we were talking about this that a lot of January feels like we're setting up goals for our future selves and our adult selves, and we're looking at who we want to become when we are older and like setting goals to try to get to that person. I think the tendency to get there is to try to start all of these new habits and like this idea of, okay, what's the life that you want to live? How can you incorporate like small moments of what that life looks like into your day-to-day now, which I do very much believe in. But I think we forget to take account of who we are as we're getting to that place and as we're setting ourselves up to set those goals and become that person. We forget about like the foundation that we've already put down and just kind of like who we are already showing up as to become that person. It's so easy, especially with January 1, to just want to start fresh, but that's just not realistic. And I think there is a lot of comfort in just remembering who we are as we're setting up new goals. It sounds so silly to say, but I do think it's easy to just kind of like pretend that we're a completely different person as we're starting to plan for the year ahead. Anyways, we will get into more of that reflection and recalibration later on in this episode, but I want to start with just a recap of the past week because it was an amazing week and so much happened. So I just want to fill you guys in. Okay, our recap is going to start, and we're actually picking up from where we left off last episode. I mentioned that I got tickets to a play called Job, and last Sunday I was able to go to it. I went with my cousin. It's playing at the Connolly Theater. I found out about it because it was written up in the New York Magazine, and I have a physical subscription, so it actually forces me to like read a lot of articles that maybe I wouldn't if I was just scrolling on their website. Also, just a quick complaint, the search feature on the New York Magazine website is so horrendous. Like, I feel like it's so impossible to find specific articles if you're searching, and it drives me mad. So if anyone from New York Magazine is listening, I'm happy to do a focus group or interview about the search process on your website because, oh my God, I have many thoughts. Read about Job in New York Magazine, was super intrigued, ended up just buying tickets after reading that article, but then did some more research. The play is also a New York Times critics pick or gold pick or something. Went in with really high hopes and oh my God. I really can't say much without giving things away, but I will say it is one of the best things I have ever witnessed. It is true art. The premise of the play is a millennial woman gets let go of her job at a big tech firm because she has a mental breakdown at work that goes viral. And basically, in order to potentially get her job back, she needs to be assessed by a therapist. So the entire play is basically one therapy session, and there's two actors. There's no intermission. They're on the stage the entire time, and it's just one set. So it's pretty bare bones in terms of like the plays that I have experienced, with a lot of like sets and music and big things to distract you. This is completely stripped back, and it needs to be because the acting is unbelievable. Actually, both of the actors were in Succession. The therapist was played by Frank in Succession, if you've seen. So that was also cool just seeing him. But oh my God, the acting, like even just the way that they move their neck, like just these such small details that I've never noticed. And also just because it's real life, like you're just so enthralled. But beyond that, the writing of this play was unbelievable. Again, I don't want to give anything away, so I'm not going to say any more. I'm hoping that after this run at the Connolly, it's either picked up for Broadway or screen adaptation because it's so, so good. It touches on the effects of social media and technology in our lives. It touches on feminism in a really interesting way. It started to introduce this concept of feminism in technology and what that looks like and what it means. There was one line in particular where the female kind of protagonist in this play says that these tech platforms were built for men, and the people who have gotten really good at using it are young women, and now we're being villainized for using the platform to create careers and meaning, and now are basically like being belittled and told that social media is toxic because these are some of the people that understand how to use the platforms the best. Just like really interesting, nuanced takes on the zeitgeist, and truly could not recommend it more if you're in New York. It is really intense, I will say. Like, it is very intense. You definitely want to go with somebody that you can chat about it afterwards. Ideally, like a peer, probably. But yeah, well, so that was great. Other than that, on Sunday, I also got to go to Foul Witch with Sarah. We went before the play. Foul Witch is a restaurant on Avenue A and First, and it was just put forward for a James Beard Award. We sat at the chef's table, which we also did at Margot in Brooklyn, which is really nice. The food was great. I honestly kind of preferred Margot, and also the chef's table experience at Margot was better because you're actually looking into the kitchen, and some of the prep tables, I know that's not the right word, but are facing the chef's table, so we could like talk to some of the chefs. We chatted with one of the chefs at Margot named Claire, who is a sweetie, so that was really great. Foul Witch felt like a little bit more separated from the kitchen. Still really great. If you're looking for a fun dinner spot in the East Village, I would definitely give Foul Witch a try. So that was Sunday. And then Monday was also really amazing. I had another event for No Particular Order. One of my goals for No Particular Order is to continue to develop an event series, but kind of figure out a better through line, because all of the events that I've done for the brand have been completely different, which has been really fun. And it's been helpful to know kind of what works and the best feedback and the types of spaces we need, etc. And also just knowing how much work goes into throwing events. If anyone works in event planning or like PR events, kudos to you, because there's just so many moving parts and logistics that can be really stressful. But this one was actually pretty straightforward. We did a post-grad conversation at Do Not Feed Alligators in the West Village, and it was co-hosted with Home From College. Most of you guys probably are already familiar with at least hearing me talk about Home From College, but it is a career platform designed for college or college age students that really gives these people an opportunity to get their first experiences working with brands that you probably already know and love. They have Drew, Peacock, they had like the NBA was one of their partners. So all of these companies are hiring college or college aged students for short term career opportunities. And a lot of them actually will just like, they'll use this to kind of like vet students and then hire full time. So it's a really amazing platform. I helped launch the business for a year and a half. That was my first job after college. And now I sit on the advisory board of the business. But this was the first like public partnership we have really ever done, especially since No Particular Order was born. But it felt like a really natural conversation to have, which is basically this like year to 2 years after graduating college, as you're entering adulthood and leaving that like structure that you're given as like a child, and just figuring out where you fit in the world. So at this event, it was myself and then Julia, who's one of the co-founders of Home From College, discussing this. But before and after, there was a really nice just kind of like cocktail hour. Everyone was chatting. Everyone who came to this event was so lovely. I don't even think it really makes sense for me to start getting into the specifics of what we discussed or any like advice that we gave, because I think it's something that we will continue to have this conversation with different groups At some point, I would love to do an interview with Julia for Working Title. So yeah, that was a wonderful event. Definitely want to figure out how we can kind of scale that conversation and bring it to more people. I do want to do it on the podcast, but having it in person was really great. And I think a lot of people made friends. I had so much fun talking to everyone there. Everyone's super interesting and just passionate about kind of like building their lives and careers. The next night was another Home From College event, which was great. It was honestly a little bit bizarre because I feel like in 2021, there were a lot of moments where you were starting to meet people for the first time that you had previously only talked to on Zoom. Like there was a lot of the like, oh my God, I didn't know you were tall or blah, 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 whatever. The first time you're meeting people, this Home From College event was so bizarre because we were building this business literally throughout 2020. It was a COVID-born business, which meant that all of our meetings and connections and everything happened over Zoom. So this night last week was the first time that I was actually meeting so many people from our community, different partners, even like Christian Navarro, who I had on this podcast. He was episode 4, I think. He was the guest on the episode titled Do As Ben and Jerry Do or something like that, which by the way is one of my favorite Working Title episodes to date. If you're interested in building like the personal brand and what that means, I would check that episode out next. But I interviewed Christian for this podcast. I still at this point had never met him. So last week was the first time actually meeting him in person, which was just crazy. And there were so many of those moments throughout the night. So that was really fun just to actually be able to meet people in person. I feel like I have such a different energy in person than I do over Zooms and meetings. So it's just really good for me to be able to kind of like make those introductions IRL. So that was a really fun night. The last thing that I wrote down that I wanted to bring up in this podcast was this past week, I have talked to somewhere between 25 and 30 people from the No Particular Order community just to get feedback on the brand and the product. I would say like 80% of them owned volume 1 going into the conversation, but it was super interesting. So I had done a similar kind of like focus group project before we launched the business. I actually hired somebody to help me do this research just as we were figuring out the format of the journal, what would make the most sense, even just the physicality of the book. Like, do more people like hardcover, softcover? How does it change the way that they're thinking about like when they're using the journal? One of my regrets though was we hired somebody amazing to do it. It was a college student named Chloe. She crushed it. She did an amazing job. But my regret was that it wasn't me on the calls because I feel like it would have been just really great to meet more people in my community, and B, I think just hearing people's opinions about journaling and their experience with this from their own mouth is so interesting. And I've learned so much just from this past week. The reason that we were doing these calls is because we are going into planning for future products. And as we're starting to think about what these are going to look like and feel like and what they're going to have inside, it's really important that we actually get feedback from people who have been using a similar product, which would be Volume 1. And one of my misconceptions was I thought the journal really lives in like a tote bag and goes to a lot of cafes. And after talking to so many people, I've learned that Volume 1 really is something that exists in a lot of homes and bedside tables and desks, and it's a part of routines, which is completely opposite of how I thought people were using it. So even that, it kind of just feels like knowledge is power as we're growing this. And it was honestly so fun. Like by the end of every call, I was like, okay, I want to be besties with this person. I loved it. On that note, I just want to kind of finish this episode talking about how I'm journaling this week and the things that I'm thinking about and revisiting. So if you guys did the new pages prompts, which are on the No Particular Order Instagram, and by the way, it's never too late to do those. So if you didn't do it in January, you can absolutely do it now. But if you did do it, I would encourage you to revisit those pages. I think now that we've like lived a month in the year, we can start to get a better sense of what a month feels like. I feel like by the end of the year, time is just all over the place with the holidays. feels like time moves in a very different way in like November, December. So I think it's easy as we're setting up goals for ourselves to forget what a month actually feels like. I'm actually, as I have you guys here, going to open my new pages prompts and I'm going to tell you the pages that I'm going to revisit. Okay, so these are the prompts in the new pages that I'm going to be going back and just doing some reflecting and recalibrating and like literally crossing things off of and maybe adding some more and just kind of like giving myself a chance to edit now that we've actually lived some of this year. The first page that I really would want to focus on is refining. This is where there's three prompts and it says what I want to discard, keep, and add. First thing I'm looking at is add and seeing if I've actually made any moves to add those things into my life. I'm actually really happy looking back at this. I feel like I have done a good job. One of the examples is I wanted to add more handwritten letters. I have sent 5 letters so far this year, so I'm really happy with that. One of my ads that I have not gotten to is therapy, but that is still very high on my list, so I'm going to keep that there. And then I'm also going to look at the discard list. One of the things I discarded, which I talked about on Working Title, was telling myself that I was a bad texter because I think it's just such bad form to not respond to people. And I think I actually have gotten better at this, but because I've been able to recognize that, like, I always know immediately when I read a text how I want to respond, I'm just trying to get better at actually acting on that. And I feel like I have been getting better at it. The next page that I would look at, I think the themes is an interesting thing just to read and review. I don't think there needs to be that much editing there, but it's just a good reminder. The second page that I would go back into and like really edit, maybe add things to, change certain numbers or details if you need to, is just the list of 50 goals. Or I can't remember if I said 50 or 30 goals, but I would just go back in there. I'm reading my list of goals for 2024 and I have not hit one single thing, which is fine. It's not to say that I'm not going to later this year, but it's also maybe a good reminder that I should add more attainable goals, even if it's just so that I can go back in and check things off and feel more confident in the goals that I've set for myself. I think it's okay to have some low-hanging fruit, which I definitely did not add in January. And again, just thinking about like who we are and if these goals are actually going to serve us or if it serves like a future pretend version of ourselves that it's just going to stress us out and not really be as meaningful because we're trying to hit those for a person that doesn't even exist. Okay, I'm going to leave you guys with that. I'm going to try to pull together some more cohesive thoughts for next week's episode. As always, if you enjoy the podcast, don't forget to leave us a review on Spotify and Apple. And I also always leave a question box on Spotify that prompts you about something that we talked about on this episode. I love you guys. I will see you on Instagram and I'll talk to you in the next episode of Working Title. Bye.